Because you don't, so you wouldn't think this person would be a big timer, and they're not.
How do I know that? I felt like I got big time.
I know. I'm here to tell you. I don't think it happened that way. I mean, it definitely happened the way you're saying it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna tell you. I just think we didn't have cameras out there at the time. He didn't know what you looked like. Now that doesn't excuse the thought process that he didn't. See, now you're getting me to come around here.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'm just gonna let you talk yourself into this.
Well, because you don't just be nice to people that are on the air. You're supposed to be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're supposed to just be a human about things and be nice to everybody, and no matter how big or small or whatever their job is or anything about that. And from that perspective, that's not great. That's not a great look.
Mm.
I didn't think about that side of it.
Either they didn't know who I was, and therefore I didn't matter. Or
that's probably the right reason.
They knew who I was. Didn't matter.
It's the first one. I think it's the first one, and I don't know if that makes
Which
you feel better or worse. It's definitely worse for him. The first one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely worse because, like, you know, you can't just be. You can't only. I told you I've only had great interactions with this guy, and so like, but what's that about? Would we have these same interactions if I had just been, I don't know,
you know, maybe
doing
it's,
a job that was not on air?
In fairness.
Would that happen? Probably not now.
In fairness.
That's not great.
When I first got nights, I was a little defensive, just a touch defensive. And I might have been a little more combative than I should have been in my youthful zeal.
Yeah.
But the thing that I have certainly had to do this because of going to Charlotte and having to relearn a place and then coming back and all that. If I even remember somebody a little bit or know that they're affiliated, I really try to say hi and really just, you know, not assuming that they know who I am, but just, oh, hi, my name's Nick. How you doing? Just one, I'm a large person and my presence, if you don't know me, can be a little off-putting because I do have RBF and I can look a little John Wayne Gacy. It's just the way
I struggle with that too. I look like I'm constantly angry or constantly mad, yeah. And it's like I'm not. I'm having a good time. It's just how my face goes.
The Halloween wedding.
Yeah.
Kevin and his beautiful bride. She asked Vanessa the next day at work, like, was Nick okay? Because he looked miserable.
No, I was
like,
he was in the zone.
I was Sergio Dip. I was having the time of my life.
Of my life, exactly right.
I had endless drinks, endless food.
It's funny, yeah. I saw the, Marcelo, the guy on SNL. What's his last
Hernandez.
Name? I never remember. Hernandez.
From Northeast Ohio.
He's got a stand-up. He's got a stand-up coming out.
I will not watch it.
Oddly enough, I'll watch it. I'd watch everything.
Well, he's a skit guy. I like skit
guys.
Well,
and so he had this interaction with my guy, Timothy Chalamet, where he comes up to Chalamet and they do this whole like hello type thing. And then this bodyguard, Chalamet's got these bodyguards these days, right?
Which is wild.
And he's got to, Club Chalamet. He's got a whole, there's a whole bunch of nonsense with that. We don't have to get into that right now. You're giving me a look like you want me to get into that right now. We don't have to get into that right now.
Timothée Chalamet, I must have the guards.
People like Chalamet. So Marcelo though, like he goes up and he shakes the bodyguard's hand as if to like, cause obviously he shook, he did the interaction with Chalamet, and then like this is big bodyguard, and he like did this whole like nice to meet you, this is great, like just being a human about it.
Yeah.
And then the internet like lost their minds about the idea that he treated this bodyguard with respect.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you treated him like he's a human. It's like, that's how you're supposed to treat people. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, every time, every time we have somebody new back up there, new part timers, I make sure to just be as unprofessional with them as I am with everybody else.
Well, I always think that you strike them first, so the first impression's really good, so then they just like, this Nick Wilson guy's great.
Yeah. Well, that's the Nick Wilson rule.
Love him.
Yeah.
I noticed that with you. You give a lot of effort very early on with a lot of the people that
are new
here.
And then at some point, they're like, he's good.
They expose themselves for either being, you know, good at their job, which we like, or somebody that'll only be here for a few months. We don't
that
have to
matters
invest
to
much
you.
Time.
It doesn't matter to me.
You know, well, I mean, it just like, I care if you're good at your job a little bit. Yes, I do.
I care if you're a human. If you're nice, I don't care how good you are at your job here. I don't.
Oh,
I
no, care. Being I care nice that I'm matters good, more
that
than
you're
anything.
Good. That whoever's in that building or in that chair is good, and our producer. But if you're bad at 2020, I don't give a rip.
I'll be nice to everybody. That's not the discussion.
Oh, we are spinning our wheels.
The discussion is whether or not I get invested.
It's a dog guy all over again.
I can't get invested into everybody. Because if I think you're just going to be here for 3 months and gone, I have 35 people that have been here for 3 months and then are off doing something else. And that's just emotionally taxing for me. That takes a lot out of me.
I think a lot of people are thinking a little less of you
that
right
takes,
now.
And that, if it's that's a real tough if one. That's what the cross I have to bear off of this convo, then I guess I'll bear it. It's just a moment of honesty. I can't invest my life into everybody.
I think just saying hi and joking around with people is not investing your life. I think it's investing about 30 seconds or so.
Oh, and I do that, and you know that.
I do. If you see something in them. If you see something.
Oh, stop it. What a weird twist this is.
Wait. Have you not told the tale on yourself? Mac.
What a weird Mac, twist this is.
This
tale?
Is not Spin Zone. Fair? Mac, come on, Mac. Get up on that
what
mic.
What is Spin Zone?
I'm not spinning it. There's somebody's trying to spin it right now that I'm twisting it on him. There's no spin from my side.
I think there might be a point where maybe you pull back a little bit.
What does that mean?
In terms of you'll be very invested. You'll joke around and everything like that.
We're talking about me or Nick?
About you.
About me. Oh, yeah. Yes, okay, go ahead. You. Yes, yeah. I want the honest assessment.
Yeah, I think that there's
Mac
times where you joke around with
his hands so much right
He's
now.
He's so nervous about this. It's okay.
No, I think there are times where...
Go ahead, Mac. Keep going. This is going to be a lot of fun for all of us.
Who's your mentor?
Tell me about all the shortcomings I have in life. I really am signed up to hear about this one.
No, I think that you joke around with certain people, and then at a certain point when you realize that, you know what, I don't think I'm going to have to deal with that much anymore, I maybe just say, hi, how's your day going, and then you move on with your day.
I'll be straight with you.
That's not
Mac
bad.
Being uncomfortable and all this, and yeah, I thought you put a nice spin on that, by the way. That was a nice spin.
And by the way, I don't think that's like the wrong read either, by the way.
Nope. No, I don't think it's a bad thing either.
We're just different in that regard. No, yeah, but I remain courteous. For sure, but if I think you're gone in 2 months, I've dealt with too many people.
Mac
I'm just
being
not,
on
I'm
the
not investing
spot
myself.
There was probably my favorite thing that's happened on today's show.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Your voice started to, and you caught yourself. You caught that voice peaking, and you're like, I'm bringing it down. I'm putting the bass in this voice
again. Bring it back.
You know what, though? I do appreciate. I appreciate how much that was painful for you to even try to do that to me. That's what I like.
Yeah.
That was nice. It's a very sweet gesture by you.
Mac is a very genuinely nice guy.
To even have that in you to be like, I don't want to really say anything that I think he might be upset with is very nice. That's a good trait you have.
Yeah. I don't have that.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you don't.
But I'm the truth broker.
Is that what you are now?
This is co-host.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Why aren't the Browns getting credit for Kevin Stefanski? Just real quick here.
What credit are you looking for?
Well, 6 years ago, nobody else was hiring Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. So as I can say, the Browns the last 2 years, no bueno. It has not been good. You've heard it here enough. I've said enough that it's not been good enough. We're all in agreement that 8 wins in 2 years isn't enough. But for all the people waxing nostalgic about the Kevin Stefanski era in Cleveland on national media, 2-time coach of the year, he went to the playoffs twice in Cleveland. They kind of say it like that.
Yeah, they do. As if it's like a thing.
For all of that, the knock on Jimmy Haslam when Stefanski was hired is he doesn't give people time to fail. They didn't fire Kevin. If we were firing Kevin at the first obvious point, it would have been after they won 8 games in his second year or 7 wins in his third year. That would have been an obvious point to fire him, right? Oh, well, that 1 year's a fluke, and then he's won 15 games in the last. Hey, Baker, you could have scapegoated Kevin instead of Baker at any point in that time. They didn't. And not just that, they could have then fired him after last year, where they were talking about playoffs. And they won 3 games.
Well, they probably would have helped him out, actually, if they had fired him last year. Because he probably would have ended up in Jacksonville and might have had a real chance.
So they gave him 6 years in 2 playoff. Again, there's a lot of reasons to it, which is a fair rebuttal, or the context is fair here.
Yeah.
So they hired a guy that nobody else was getting ready to hire. So they found him.
Yeah, they did.
Then they allowed him this platform where he became a 2-time coach of the year.
But I mean, we've got to make
and
this clear
beloved,
too.
Beloved human being around the NFL.
We do have to make this distinction clear because it's important for this search as well. Andrew Berry didn't find Kevin Stefanski.
That's right. Paul D. Podesta did. May he rest in Colorado.
I credit Jimmy Haslam.
Because you just don't want to give D. Podesta credit.
I will give D. Podesta 0 credit. I will never give him credit. And based off of his interviews that he's done in Colorado since then, him acknowledging that he basically knew nothing about the NFL at that point, not great.
Here's the thing.
We all knew it. You didn't have to say it, buddy.
You and I have had a dust up or two about how much credit Kevin Stefanski gets for the development of Shedeur Sanders in 7 games this year. And I'm not bringing that back to start another fight. But my point is, I will fight you on credit or not credit.
Haslam interviewed Stefanski before DePodesta was ever in the photo.
Well, what I was going to say is, I'm not going to fight you on DePodesta.
There we
Blink
go.
That guy.
There
he gets no credit. I hope the Rockies lose 150
games
this year.
In turn, if we're going down the road that you're going down, which is why aren't the Browns getting more credit for the hiring of Kevin Stefanski, we should then in turn be asking, why isn't Haslam getting more credit for the hiring of Stefanski and the patience attached to Stefanski? This is a...
I'm really okay with that.
You're building the case of a rare Jimmy Haslam W.
I'm really okay with that. Again, like, I think there are so many things that are totally fair to criticize Jimmy on. And you would be right. It has been a dumpster fire more often than it's not. It's not a dumpster fire now. Believe it or not, 8 wins in 2 years is pretty bad. It's still not dumpster fire bad for the NFL. That's when we're talking 3, 4, 5 years of 3 wins teams. But as bad as it feels right now, the roster's in an okay place, not a great place, but an okay place. You've got the assets to make it even better this year, and they found the guy that now everybody's exalting as the great savior of the New York Giants, if it's not John Harbaugh.
I know, and the rewriting of this, if we can do revisionist history again, which is always a fun thing.
Do I have to read my prepared statement again?
But the idea is that when they hired Stefanski, he was not anywhere close to being the odds-on favorite. He was not anywhere close to being somebody that the football world thought was the next greatest thing. Like, that really wasn't the reality for Stefanski. Like, they plucked him out of nowhere, essentially. And so... I think you're right in that the football world doesn't give the Browns enough credit for that. Because I don't know that Stefanski, 1 year as an OC in Minnesota, was going to have that many opportunities and people lining up to give him a job. Now, maybe he would have gotten one eventually.
And here's the
thing.
But
at that point in time, not necessarily.
I think you can spin this no matter how you feel about Kevin Stefanski, too. Like, if you think in the end, like you and I, think Kevin Stefanski is an average NFL head coach. If you give him talent, he'll win. Mm-hmm. If you don't, he won't. I would say that's about 75% of head coaches I see in the NFL. Well, I say that's not fair. It's about 50%, because then 25 just patently suck, and the other 25 are great. But, or some iteration of really, really good, if not great.
Yeah.
But, like, if I believe he's an average coach, well, average coach is better than anything they had before. Mike Pettine was a dumpster fire. No. I think Mike would have been a better coach. Let me take that one back. I think Mike got a raw deal. That he got caught in the crossfire. But Shermer, who he didn't hire, dumpster fire. Chudzinski was a dumpster fire because of who hired him. Joe Banner, dumpster fire. Hugh Jackson, dumpster fire. Hugh Jackson over Sean McDermott, dumpster fire. Freddie. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? Like, even if you think Kevin is only an average coach, yeah, the Browns found him when nobody else did, and now he's apparently the belle of the ball, getting any job that he wants in the NFL. He's the second coming of freaking Kyle Shanahan to some
people.
Yeah,
I was trying to remember if he'd interviewed with any other coaches in that little coaching cycle or anything like that, and the only other team that I can find that actually gave him the time of day, oddly enough, January 7th, 2019, he interviewed with the Giants.
Ooh, they remember him.
Yeah. Yeah, very Haslam-esque, the idea that they talked to him before, they wanted to have him in, and then they'll probably lean on that. It's an interesting little subplot to all this, but there was not a lot of interest in someone like Stefanski. So yeah, the Browns do get credit for this.
Bo and Bowling Green. We're Bowling Green guys. You got to stick right there, Bo. Jeff, Cody, you guys stick there as well. Why aren't the Browns getting credit for finding Kevin Stefanski and not firing him? The first chance they get, and we're going to take a look back at our division winners in about 5 minutes here on 92.3 The Fan. It's not, listen, the Browns are a great organization. It's just, let's state for the record that the head coach that everyone thinks got screwed over by the Browns, that is one of the best coaches in the NFL, that happened to be the guy that they found when really nobody else was going to make him the head coach, right? When, quite frankly, a lot of people even in Cleveland said, who? When Kevin Stefanski got fired, and the Browns haven't done what was the biggest problem with Jimmy Haslam the first 8 years here, which was wait a year or two and he's firing somebody and restarting the clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are two huge things that should matter in the estimation. And when there's a part of me, and maybe this is being weirdly defensive on behalf of the Haslams, which I have no reason to be.
You keep going. We're going to end up on the Browns Radio Network.
That's trying to get that extra little cheddar here. They're never going to have me, and that's okay.
No.
But
we're not their guys.
We're truth brokers.
That's all.
Come
that's
on
all.
Now.
That's all right. That's fine.
We broker
in
truth.
That's the cross we bear. That's the cross we bear.
But like, damn it. Now I think I forgot it.
Sorry.
A great. No, it's okay. I do that to you like 90 times more than you do it to me. So
it's
we're
okay.
Really okay.
It's okay. Either way, the point is that you're trying to give him credit. You're trying to give the Haslams credit. And I think that is a good thing right now.
And I'm glad you said credit because it actually boggled it.
Reset.
I know what I want to think. No, it jostled it free. I don't even know if that's a word. The point is,
it is. You got it. Yeah.
The people in the national media who want to give Kevin all this credit aren't giving the Browns that credit. And when you don't, it makes me wonder, oh, can you just not see past your own bias against Haslam? Which is,
and for some of them, they can't, by the way.
Which is okay, but just, you know, own it, I guess.
Well, and some do. Like, Florio does own it in many ways. I guess maybe not the bias against him, but the idea that it's all Haslam's fault, it's always going to be Haslam's fault. But the idea that he's been the same guy that he was 7 years ago is just not true. It just isn't. He's a different owner. It doesn't mean that he's going to be a great owner moving forward. No, that's also not on the cards either, but he's a different guy.
All right, let's go with Bo in Bowling Green. Now, this is Bowling Green, Ohio. Yes, Bo?
That is correct.
Oh, thank God. If it was Bowling Green, Kentucky, your ass would have been grass. I would have just fired you out of here. What take do you have for us, buddy?
I mean, let's face it, guys. First of all, I love the show. But
thank you.
Let's face it. If you're Jimmy Haslam, I mean, what are we doing? It could not have happened or fallen better into your lap than this. You have an established coach. He's got all the accolades. Just pay the man. Let him build his coaching staff. He's proven he can win. I mean, I don't understand what's going on here. Like, this is the first time you've had a coach that you can pay however much money you want to pay him, and you can turn this franchise around.
About John Harbaugh, right?
Yeah, who are you talking about?
My bad. Yes, yes, obviously, my bad. Harbaugh.
Okay.
I mean, he'll change the culture. That's what they need. They need some consistency. He won't put up with any crap. So, I mean, it couldn't have happened any easier or any better than right now. So I don't understand why we're wasting time. I mean, as a Browns fan, I'm frustrated. I mean, they're going through coaches and quarterbacks like crazy. So what do you guys think? Like, do you think, like, do we have a real shot here? Because if we do, I mean, what's the hesitation? Let's get it done.
I like the gumption here. Yeah, I think they have a shot. I don't know how big of a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy Haslam's a wild card. Bo, get some Pisanellos for your boy, okay? You go out there, you eat the Pisanellos for me. You have some poly eyes for me. And if you're able to do so, have a beer for me as well. I used to be in college, too.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Bo.
Kind of say a little Andrew Bogish to his game.
Wait, there was the assumption there that he was in college. I was thinking Bo was much older. You said have a beer for me.
Well, yeah, I meant because I did age him. I didn't mean that. What I meant was because you're in BG, I used to drink in BG. And then I didn't because I failed out.
Okay. All right.
Cody in Texas. We got about 60 seconds, buddy. What you got for me?
Hey, first off, love the show, and I'm originally from Amherst, Ohio, right down the road. So
very nice.
I've been living here in Texas for about 10 years. So it's either Browns football or Cowboys football. That's all I got. And
it's a rough road to hoe right now.
Well, I kind of laugh at the diehard Cowboys fans just because I've been living that life, and they just don't know what to do with themselves. But I will give Jimmy the credit that
How long you been in Texas? You already got an accent and everything.
About 10 years now.
Mm. Do you call anybody Buckaroo? If I was in Texas, I'd say y'all more, and I would do Buckaroo. I call everybody Buckaroo.
Yeah, y'all is like a every other word now. I go back home, and it's just y'all this, y'all that. So.
Do you bless your heart, people? Do you like, bless your heart?
You know, it takes something pretty astounding for me to say.
You know,
that.
He kind of sounds like Cash Levitt.
Oh, This isn't. No, he's got energy.
Oh.
Dude.
That was mean.
Why did you do that to me?
I didn't do anything to you. Sorry, Cody, you got to talk about Haslam. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'll just say, like, Haslam has the sense of hiring a GM to manage the team. Gary is trying to be GM, and he just can't do it. And that's why he's never going to be consistent in the playoffs or even get his Super Bowl that he wants before, you know, he decides to roll over and just give it up. But honestly,
I thought you were going to kill him off there.
I think he did. I just think he was too nice to do it.
Close.
Is that what happened?
It was very close. But
all right, real quick, would you take McCarthy here?
Absolutely. John Harbaugh or McCarthy.
All right, buddy. We got to run, okay?
The same reason for... Okay, not a problem.
Thank you, Cody. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, that was kind of on me. Ever since the one thing. We're not going to talk about it anymore. It never happened.
I like the idea that he was, you know, like every now and then you get like the fan base in, like a Dallas Cowboys fan or something, and they'll just be like, yeah, no, McCarthy sucks. You don't want anything to do with McCarthy. Kind of like how we're going to go on all these radio stations and just kind of bash Kevin and have them surprised. No, he likes McCarthy. I would imagine Schottenheimer doesn't invoke a bunch of confidence, though, but like he likes McCarthy because I think everyone likes McCarthy. And at this point, you don't have to love McCarthy. You just have to like him.
You know how I know how cooked Jerry Jones has for Brian Schottenheimer? He's calling him Shoddy now. He's reached to nickname level, and it's like, oh, you are so cooked. I do not recall. I could be wrong on this.
He fired the Flus. That was his big move.
The Flus is officially loose.
Once you got him, defensive coordinator. Got 3 straight years they fire a defensive coordinator. And Schottenheimer's got another year.
Mm. Let's go ahead and get to a callback. We're gonna bring on producer extraordinaire Jake Murren as I continue to reel from letting the tiger out of the cage a little bit ago here. Jake, you're going to help us call back to our division winner predictions from the start of the year. Am I correct?
I want to set this up for a second here, because do you remember where we were when we made these predictions?
Was it at a bar?
It was Rally House.
Mm.
It was the Rally House, and I remember I felt awfully cagey that day.
Mm.
And so I don't know. I don't remember what I said.
Does that make you feel better about your predictions or worse?
Only prediction I remember was Jacksonville.
Yeah, I knew you nailed Jacksonville.
Only
you
one
nailed
I remember,
so dismissive.
Only one I remembered was that one. It's the only one that's been in my brain. And then I really don't remember much of anything else.
I think I said Pittsburgh. So I feel like I got one there.
You definitely did. I definitely said the Ravens, too. There's no way I didn't say the Ravens.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be funny if we try to predict our preseason predictions.
It's not going to be good. It is not going to be good. Mac, you were chomping at the bit. What's up?
Yeah, no, I was laughing because of the fact that I found my predictions that I texted to Jake, and I didn't do well.
No bueno?
No bueno.
I think we all tried to step out on a limb a little bit. You didn't want to take the obvious. You wanted to go a little bit different, but some spots were too obvious you couldn't ignore. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, so we have 8 divisions to run through. We're going to start in the NFC West, where the Seahawks won the division with a 14-3 record. Nick, you had the 49ers winning.
Okay.
JP, you had the Rams winning. Both 12-5 teams, respectable teams.
Yeah, I feel
teams.
Good about that. The Rams, both, one of the best teams in football all year. They should have won that.
In a division with 2 12-win teams and a 14-win team.
Did Mac have
chose
the Cardinals?
The Cardinals, who went 3-14.
I remembered it, not just because of Mac's look of shame.
No.
But because, quite frankly,
was it Jonathan Gannon?
I remembered one of us said the Cardinals, and I knew it wasn't me.
Ooh.
I was waiting to pounce on you real quick.
Oh, I would have.
I won't pounce on you because you're Mac.
Oh, man, that's one of the rougher goes.
No, it's fine. I'll have more reason for it as we go along here.
All right, so that brings us to the South.
Yeah, NFC South. You guys all picked the Buccaneers to win. And, of course, the Panthers won because the Falcons won last Sunday. So they are the NFC South champs.
In fairness, you could have given me 4 chances, and I was not getting the Panthers.
Well, nobody really wanted to win that division. Yeah. And
I mean,
we
did correctly predict the team with the most amount of wins.
That's true. That's true.
You know,
so nothing like awful yet. I know there's going to be at least one. It might be me. I think it's going to be the next one. I think I had Minnesota. Now that we're coming back to it,
I remember you had the Packers. You were very high on the Packers preseason.
At least made the playoffs. Okay.
You were very high on the Packers preseason.
And that was before
I remember
Micah
that.
Parsons.
I'm fairly confident I had the Lions.
But
again, I don't
respectable
remember.
In the preseason.
You guys are right on. Nick, you had the Packers winning the NFC North.
Yeah.
JP, you had the Lions.
You really loved the Packers at a point throughout the beginning. Like when they got the Micah Parsons, and then for like the first couple weeks of the season when they started off really hot, you were about as in on the Packers as you could possibly be.
I still would be if not for What, an Achilles or an ACL? Yeah. Yeah, I still would be. All right.
They're
what
getting,
did Mac have?
Into the postseason.
He also had the Lions. Streak.
Okay. All right.
So that's another division cool. where none of you guys have the winner.
Wow. That's
we've
impressive.
We've acquitted ourselves relatively well in our wrongness.
So we're all 0 for 3, 0 for 3, 0 for 3?
Yes.
Wow.
So far.
That is impressive.
That's
impressively bad.
But also,
but
right. Because several of the teams we picked are still in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's one way to spin that.
Also,
we are AFC guys, if we're being honest.
That's fair.
I mean,
we're
AFC guys.
It's going to be even worse.
No.
It's going to be even worse.
All right, then.
Let's get JP on the board in the NFC East. You have the Eagles winning that division at an 11-6 record.
Way to go on a limb.
Nick, you had the Cowboys winning, and Mac had the Commanders. He went 5-12.
How embarrassing for you.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
I like that even when I'm wrong, Mac is more wrong.
Yeah, that seems to be a theme of this. Is,
when you think you find rock bottom, I somehow find a way to get lower.
What was I huffing? The Cowboys ended 8-9, right? Wasn't that
7-9. I don't know what you were.
How'd they go 7-9?
Tie.
7-9-1. We just didn't add the one at the
I
back
forgot the tie. If I had accounted for the tie, I would have picked the Eagles. Okay, we missed it by that much.
That's all right.
It's still not as bad as Mac.
Now, right. AFC West, I do remember my pick, and I'm oddly proud of it, even though it didn't end up winning.
The Chargers, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
And I'm oddly proud because the Chiefs had won 9 straight division championships, and betting against the Chiefs was the bet. I just bet on the wrong pony to bet against the Chiefs.
Mm. Yeah, I had the Chiefs. This is not great.
Yeah, you had the Chiefs, Nick. So did Mac. A 6-win season for the Chiefs, and the Broncos won the division with 14 wins.
Yeah, I feel like it's like they have a lot of bad luck. That's
I almost
what
feel like
happened.
It's like I get like half a point for the idea that I took the team that wasn't the Chiefs. The bet was the Chiefs wouldn't win that, and I bet the wrong pony.
I almost feel like I get half a point deducted from my poor score because who knew Mahomes was going to tear his knee up, right? I mean,
so you guys are both shut out at this point. You guys are both 0-5. Is that correct?
You've got one,
and I've got one. I'm not saying
you're
I'm
about
doing
to
great.
Get two.
Yes,
because you
I
have
am.
Jacksonville.
That's right.
And I did not.
All right.
All right, what do we got there?
Yeah, so AFC South, the Jaguars won the division with a 13-4 record. And Nick and Mac, you guys both had the Texans, who finished 12-5.
Yeah, that's just a really good pick by me. I'm not going to hurt myself, pat myself on the back, but that's a really good.
I think the Texans are pretty respectable.
They turned it into respectable.
So far, I believe I have.
Winning 9 straight games does that to a record.
How many? 6?
I think the Jacksonville pick is like the most.
I'm hitting.
Outstanding one in this entire.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, we don't need that.
Thank you.
I'm batting 66% for my division predictors in the playoffs.
Weird thing happened. My headphones cut off as you were talking. I didn't actually hear what you said.
I don't know. It was just because the Browns have their pick, and I wanted them to be terrible, so I convinced myself before the season that they were going to be terrible. But
no, it was Trevor Lawrence, James Gladstone, and Liam Cohen. You chose logic. You
JP did
are
it.
A contrarian.
The seer among seers. The prognosticator's prognosticator strikes again.
All right, let's get to the AFC North.
Well, AFC East real quick. You guys all had the Bills. The Patriots win that division at 14-3.
I feel fine about that.
And then the AFC North, yes, the Steelers do win that division. Nick, you had the Steelers winning it. And then JP and Mac both picked the Ravens.
Mac, you got shut out?
Yep.
Mac went 0-8.
Oh, no.
That's why I was laughing.
Oh, all right. No. Spin zone. 6 of my 8 division winners made the playoffs.
You still went 1-8.
That's
I got one team in the playoffs.
Okay.
Who cares?
I picked playoff teams. I didn't pick the Cardinals. Okay?
Well,
my worst team.
I had more top 10 picks that I picked to win division.
You still picked the Cowboys.
Teams.
I don't know what to tell you.
But 1-8 for Nick.
But by the way, you picked the Ravens. I picked the Steelers.
If a 44-yarder by the old Fruit Loop, like, oh, that's what I call them. I call them that. By Loop, if that one just goes a little bit to the left, we're not having a hardball discussion, and then I'm the overarching winner of this. Can we get the final tallies?
To quote Tomlin, if my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
Oh, really? You got on Tomlin for not saying it with his chest, and now you're not saying it. Now you're succumbing to male parts?
I just trashed Cash Levitt like 7 minutes ago. I'm trying to be good.
Hate it. All right, what do we got here, Jake? What's the final tally?
So the final tally, Mac went 0-8, Nick went 1-8, and JP, you are the winner, but I don't know if 2-8 is something to be proud of.
Apparently it is. If this is like, so this is apparently a really hard one to get.
Okay. Wait. I went 6-8. 6 of my divisional winners were in the playoffs. That's 75%.
I'm doing the math of mine. Yeah.
I think JP went five for eight.
I think
the Ravens are out. That's the one.
So how much?
That wasn't the game.
So I think I won.
That wasn't the game.
Yeah, I got more playoff teams.
That was not the game.
You're not playing the right game now. You're fantasizing all over this right now,
and I don't like it.
You want your win? You got one more than me.
I'm not saying I dominated. I'm not saying I dominated the field. I'm not saying I whapped the field or anything like that. But winning off a Jacksonville pick that Jake over here says, what was that, a thing of beauty?
I think it was the most outstanding pick in the competition.
Jake's always been more of a you guy. That's Max more of my... Well, no, I don't really want to claim that right now. God,
0 for 8.
You were very great early in the late in the 5 o'clock hour, but then you just butchered it with the division.
Max, like, can we do the quarterback Deadpool right now? Can we do that one? Where
what
I
are the results
better?
There again?
Yeah,
that's tomorrow.
That was fun. I did not know that everyone did as bad as they did.
I did. Yeah.
I think Roger Goodell would like frame this segment if there was a way of framing audio, though, because he loves the idea that it was nowhere close.
I would show him six of my teams were playoff teams. I'd say Roger Dodger, who knows ball here and who doesn't?
Yeah, you keep going with that.
In case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.